This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Bisexual Health Awareness Month was launched on social media 5 years ago in March and is happening right now, providing a space for greater conversation, understanding, and for raising greater awareness about the bisexual community. People in the bisexual community face all the same challenges as lesbian and gay people, but are also subjected to erasure and invalidation and suffer poorer physical and mental health. So how can we change that? Tonight we speak with Ella Buksak, who has conducted research on bi plus men in rural areas in Australia, as we explore what it's like for them and how research data about the bi plus community can not just make a difference socially, but personally as well.
Just for language sake, if I could just explain bi plus. So I like to use the term bi plus because it includes people who are attracted to more than one gender in some way or another. So it doesn't just mean people who identify or label as bisexual, but it also includes people who are pansexual or queer and are attracted to lots of different genders, or people who don't have a label but know that they're not just exclusively attracted to one gender. So I like to use bi plus because it kind of includes a whole diversity of people, and it doesn't just focus on the sexual attraction, it also focuses on things like romantic attraction as well. I think the language that we use when we're trying to include the bi plus community is so vital, mostly because up until this point, we've been mostly excluded from the queer community. And in terms of researching bi plus people, there are still issues with absorbing the B into wider research on lesbian and gay or LGBTIQ plus. They tend to attach on the B as like a survey question, like a demographics question, do you identify as bisexual, without actually considering what that means for the people in their survey or considering the sort of distinct forms of discrimination like biphobia that people in their surveys may have experienced. So I've often seen research that would have bi people included, but they'd only be researching homophobia. So you're missing out half of the life experiences of a big chunk of your demographic. It's a little bit difficult because there's a lot of people who don't label themselves as bi or pan or even have a label, but actually experience sexual or romantic attraction to lots of different genders. So I would encourage, from my experience of talking to the community and doing this research, is separating out questions on labels and questions on orientation of attraction. So someone might say that they identify as a lesbian, but also indicate that they're attracted to two genders. So there's that complexity there. There are quite a few good examples of research that has been inclusive of bi plus people. So for instance, the recent Trans Pathways report, the way that they included sexual identity I felt was really good because it was basically a fill in the blank box. And they found that over 30% of their participants identified as pansexual.
Ella didn't just speak to us about the use of language when it comes to the bi plus community, but also about her research. Last year at Monash University, Ella completed a study focusing on bisexual men living in rural and regional areas in Australia. Here's what Ella had to say.
I'm a bisexual queer person, and I grew up kind of on the edge of country a little bit and was very aware of the feelings of isolation from community and representation of people who weren't straight or gay, literally just did not have contact with people who at the time I knew were openly bi or anything like that. And so I really wondered about what impact that rural or regional place had on my understanding of my sexual identity. And so having been given the space to research that, I was curious to see if that's an aspect of my own life. I wonder what it must be like for people who identify as men, you know, do they also struggle with their community's understanding of masculinity as well? That's kind of the first sort of inspiration I had for this research. And secondly, I chose to look into men's experiences because there's a significant lack of research on bi men, which was surprising because often you find that there's less research on women in general. But as I was trawling through the studies, I found that there was way more on women. And that's, I believe, because there's a kind of fascination with this idea of women being more sexually fluid. And so there's a lot more research into that. But in the Australian context, hardly anything on bi men and certainly nothing on bi men's experiences of the country. So it was mostly to fill the gap in research. So I did long narrative interviews with about 10 men. Sometimes they would go for like 2 hours. And what I found was a lot of the men, they had experiences of living both in the country and in the city. And in the country, most often it was things like they're really concerned and quite worried about experiences of homophobia and were often very invisible and quite closeted in their identities. But they didn't actually experience most of their discrimination or prejudice until they came out as bi in the queer community. So they would tell me about experiences of moving out of the country, going to go to university in the city, going to start a new life and try and get into the queer community. And as soon as they come out as bi, all of a sudden it's, no, you're not gay enough to be here. You know, you're excluded from this community. And so that assumption that the city is a place of liberation, is a place where any sort of queer person could be accepted and welcomed, is broken down when you think about bi people, because the idea of bisexuality in a typical gay male space conflicts with that. It says, you know, you're not fully gay, or there's this boundary policing about what sort of behaviour and what sort of language you use. And unfortunately, they experienced a lot of exclusion from that. And at least half my participants actually spoke to me about their issues with depression and anxiety and even suicidality as well, and often related that to sense of exclusion from community and kind of, you know, they would come out to straight people and say, yeah, I'm bi or whatever, and straight people would treat them like perverts and things like that. And then they'll come out to gay people and they would say, no, you need to decide if you're gay or if you're straight, you know, you're just confused. So they were sort of stuck in a limbo space. And if you can imagine, that would have quite a big impact on their mental health. But the men who kind of lived in between the country and the city had a better time. They were a bit younger, so they had kind of easier access to different communities and were more readily able to build their own group of queer friends. And I felt that had a big impact on the more positive understanding of their sexual identity that they expressed to me. So I definitely think things are improving. My main method of recruitment was through social media. So there's quite a strong bisexual Twitter network. I had to really remind people that it's for Australian people because I was getting people from like Germany and America and whatnot. But I made like a big flyer that was saying, you know, anyone who identifies as a man, anyone who feels they are attracted to more than one gender, just give me a call or an email. It shared it around Facebook. I also drove to Wollongong as well for what's called Queer Collaborations, which is a conference of queer students and all those sort of student politics groups, and managed to recruit a couple of people there. I was quite lucky to get people who were now living in Melbourne but had lived in Queensland, and, you know, talking to people on Skype and people who were from WA and things like that. So quite a stretch. The majority of people were from Victoria, though. I found that a lot of the intersection of trans and gender diverse identity with bi plus identity is very strong, that a lot of bi people will also be gender diverse. So there's a really valuable unexplored space for researchers to explore the different life experiences that someone who might be bi and cis, as opposed to someone who is bi and also gender diverse. Yeah, I think that I would encourage more research into that area as well, as much as the rest of the bi plus community.
That was Ella Buksak speaking to us as part of our Stories for Bisexual Health Awareness Month, which is right now. Just because the month is over soon doesn't mean we'll stop sharing stories and information about the bisexual community. So if you have something you'd like to say or think needs to be focused on, be sure to let us know.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.